Chapter 2. When the bus stopped at a roadside diner for lunch, Darryl saw a Mustang parked nearby. Loud rap music pounded from the car's open windows. "You tell me to be a man, but you don't understand. You ain't lived this life. You ain't paid this price. You ain't had these blues. Try walking in my shoes." Passing the Mustang on his way into the diner, Darryl made eye contact with one of the boys in the car. Darryl tried to work his face into a smile, just like his mother said to do, but the guy in the Mustang did not seem to like a short, skinny kid smiling at him. He glared at Darryl with a menacing look that seemed to ask, "What's your problem, fool?" Inside the diner, Darryl could not eat the bacon cheeseburger he had ordered.
"Darryl," his mother urged, "eat your burger. It looks good."
He was not hungry. He did not have the heart to tell his mother that the burger tasted like cardboard and the bacon strips felt like pieces of salty leather on his tongue. Back inside the bus, Darryl stared glumly out the window and watched the miles roll by. For 3 days they lumbered across the country, stopping only to eat and change buses. Occasionally, his mother would point out interesting things she'd see out the window: the mountains, rivers, an odd building. The whole time, Darryl sulked. He knew, with each passing mile, that his home was farther away and his new neighborhood and a new high school were getting closer. Darryl's first look at California was of a desert rimmed by the chocolate-colored Laguna Mountains. Beyond them was a lush valley where reddish-brown horses and a few large cows grazed. Big houses with red-tiled roofs sat on mesas. Darryl could hardly believe people actually lived like that. He wondered what Malik would say if he saw such a place. As they entered the city, the landscape changed. Older stucco houses were crowded on narrow lots, with newer apartments stuck here and there along the street. Before long, the bus pulled into a stop next to a trolley station. Darryl and his mother grabbed their suitcases and hobbled off the bus to a bench outside the station. Almost immediately, Darryl's Uncle Jason pulled up in his truck.
"Hey, Jackie," Uncle Jason bellowed as he hopped out of the truck. "I'll bet you're worn out from that long trip."
Darryl looked at his uncle with awe. He had rippling muscles and a barrel chest. He looked even taller than Darryl remembered.
"Well, I could sure use a hot bath and a good night's sleep," his mother admitted wearily, hugging her brother.
Uncle Jason turned to Darryl, seizing him in a massive embrace that lifted his feet off the ground.
"Good to see you again, Darryl," he said.
Darryl could tell his uncle was looking at how small he was.
"We're gonna grow you, boy," he added. "We're gonna make sure you get what you need to grow into the big, strong boy the good Lord intended you to be."
Darryl felt ridiculous. His uncle treated him like a turkey that needed to be fattened up for Thanksgiving. He had never liked Uncle Jason. He had always been too loud, too pushy.
"The apartment is all set for you, Jackie," Uncle Jason said,
loading their bags into the back of the truck.
"It's furnished, too. Your stuff arrived this morning. You got a bedroom, and there's one for the boy."
When Darryl and Mom were settled in the truck, Uncle Jason closed the back door, got into the driver's seat, and pulled out into traffic.
"You're so good to be doing all this for us, Jason," Mom said.
"Well, we're family. That's what families do. Besides, ever since Lewis died, I thought I should step in and look out for Darryl. I'm glad I have you all where I can see you."
At a stoplight, Uncle Jason turned around and gave Darryl a friendly jab in the chest.
"There's your new high school, Blueford High. They got some fine sports teams there, Darryl. As soon as you get big and strong, you'll be wearing a jersey with your name on it. You'll see."
Darryl knew his uncle did not mean to insult him, but he was doing it just the same. Darryl did not think he would ever be big enough for football or basketball, and he was not coordinated enough for baseball either. He wished his Uncle Jason would just shut up.
"You want to build up your muscles, Darryl. Do push-ups, run, whatever it takes," he said. You're going to have to work extra hard, though, because your arms are really skinny. You look like you could get hurt if somebody tried to high-five you.
Uncle Jason shook his head and chuckled to himself.
Oh, Daryl's getting more height and weight every day, his mother said.
Daryl tried to tune out their voices, his mother's pathetic, false hopes that he would someday become a tall athlete, and his uncle's insulting advice about getting bigger. Trying to ignore their conversation, Daryl could only think of one thing. He hated California already. He hated it.
This is our neighborhood, announced Uncle Jason after a while.
Two boys were standing in front of a sandwich shop at a street corner. One wore a Los Angeles Dodgers baseball cap backwards. That is how Malik always wore his baseball cap. The kid was built like Malik, too, big and burly. He even leaned against the wall like Malik used to, one leg crossed at a funny angle. A bolt of sadness shot through Daryl. Daryl imagined the kid was Malik, and he could hear their conversation in his mind.
Malik, you ain't never gonna believe my uncle. He's making me feel 10 times worse about my size, yet he keeps thinking that he's helping me. All he does is tell me how small I am.
Man, don't listen to him, Malik would say. He's jealous because you're so young and he's so old. Next time he says something to you, tell him to mind his own business. Anyone who sounds as dumb as him has no right to be giving you advice, you hear me?
Daryl smiled weakly. He had always felt better when he talked to Malik. Even imagining what Malik would say raised his spirits.
Here we are,
Uncle Jason said, snapping Daryl out of his daydream. He pulled into the small driveway of a stucco duplex. Uncle Jason and his family occupied the 3-bedroom unit in front, and Daryl and his mother would live in the rear unit. Everything looked neat and clean, and multicolored flowers had been planted along the driveway.
Come on, Daryl,
his mother yelled as they got out of the truck.
We're home. This is home now.
No, he thought, this isn't home. Not my home. She walked over to him, put her arm around his shoulders, and rubbed his back.
Just be patient, she said. You'll learn to like it here.
As Daryl carried his suitcase toward the back unit, a boy came running out of Uncle Jason's house. He was a meaty boy, big for his age. He looked just like his father.
Hey, you must be my cousin Daryl,
the boy said.
I'm Travis. I'm 9. How old are you?
Daryl had almost forgotten that his uncle had 2 sons. The last time he saw them was at his father's funeral.
I'm 15, Daryl said.
No way, you ain't 15. I'm almost as tall as you are. How come you're so short?
Travis demanded, dribbling a basketball as he ran alongside Daryl.
Huh? Why are you so short?
Then Uncle Jason's other son, Nate, appeared. Nate was almost 3 years younger than Travis. Daryl tried to ignore the boys as they dodged in front of him with the basketball.
How tall are you? Travis asked. I'm going to be bigger than you soon.
Before Daryl could answer, his uncle came out of the duplex and went up to the boy. Pretending to be an opposing basketball player, he quickly knocked the ball from Travis's hands.
You got to be fast, boy, he said, putting his hand on his son's head. Now go help your mama with dinner or you won't get no dessert, yeah?
He laughed then, shaking his head as the 2 kids sprinted inside. It was clear to Daryl that he was bursting with pride over them.
Those boys of mine are something else. When they get a little older, they're going to be the best basketball players this town ever saw. Man, they've been dribbling since they learned to walk.
Daryl went to his room and started unpacking. He had just finished putting his favorite Allen Iverson poster on the wall when his mother poked her head in the door.
All unpacked, honey?
She asked.
Almost, Mom,
he answered, trying not to sound sad.
I'm going over to the office with your uncle. He's going to show me where I'm going to work and introduce me to everybody. Will you be okay?
Sure, Daryl mumbled. Daryl waited until his mother was gone. There were still a couple of hours of daylight, and he thought he would walk down the street and check out the neighborhood. Daryl headed for the shopping plaza at the corner. He tried to look cool, walking calmly as if he knew where he was going, but was in no particular hurry to get there. Malik and his friends had that kind of walk down to a fine art. They moved as if they owned the street and could handle anything that came along. They were not menacing, but no one wanted to mess with them. Most people would look the other way whenever Malik walked down the street. Darryl caught his reflection in a store window as he walked. He reminded himself of a rat scurrying down an alley, hoping no cats could see him. He figured that to the rest of the world he looked like a little kid afraid of his own shadow. Ahead, there were five boys in front of a small sandwich shop. They looked to be around 15 or 16 years old, and each of them was bigger than Darryl. They did not look like the tough kids he knew of back home. Instead, they seemed like ordinary guys just hanging out, the way he and his friends did. Two had soda cans and were shoving each other and laughing. Malik and Reggie used to do the same thing. Darryl wondered if any of the boys were freshmen at Blueford. He thought about what to do.
"Wouldn't it be something if I smiled and introduced myself, and they turned out to be friendly guys?" he said to himself. "Maybe they're just like Malik, Reggie, and Mark. If I get to know them, the first day at Blueford won't be so bad."
Darryl moved closer and tried his mother's advice. He smiled at the group of guys, trying to hide the fact that his bony knees were almost knocking together.
"What are you laughing at, fool?"
the biggest boy called out. He was almost as tall and muscular as Malik.
"You think we're funny or something?"
"No, no,"
Darryl said quickly, his mind spinning, searching for the right words.
"It was easy to talk to Malik and the guys back home, but these guys are different,"
Darryl thought. He had no idea what to say to them.
"I'm new around here," he mumbled nervously, "and I'm going to Buford."
"Buford? What's that? You stupid or something?"
the big one demanded as his friends laughed almost on cue.
I mean, Blueford," Darryl stammered. Yeah, Blueford."
"Why didn't you say that in the first place? You got some kind of speech problem?"
the big one asked.
"Anyhow, you ain't fooling nobody. You some sixth grader trying to pretend you're in high school."
He stepped so close that Darryl could smell his breath, a sickening mixture of onions and cigarette smoke.
"What's your name, kid?"
he asked.
"I'm Darryl Mercer."
"Darryl Mercer,"
the boy repeated with a chuckle. Darryl's name struck them all as funny. They kept saying it over and over in a mocking way. Darryl looked for a way to get away from them, but he was surrounded. Finally, the big kid asked,
"You got any money on you, Darryl Mercer?"
"For what?"
Darryl asked.
"We thought you'd make us a loan so we don't put your scrawny butt in that trash dumpster over there,"
the big one said. His friends started laughing out loud. One kid in an oversized Lakers shirt doubled over, unable to control his laughter.
"It looks like he's gonna wet his pants," the kid in the Lakers shirt said, struggling to catch his breath amidst his laughter.
Darryl gave them $3.25, all he had. His hands were trembling when he turned over the money.
$3? That all you got?"
the muscular kid demanded. Darryl stared at him in open-mouthed terror. Then, without a word, Darryl tried to walk down the sidewalk past them, but they all moved into his path, blocking him. The large kid raised his finger and poked Darryl's chest.
"I'm Tyree Hobbs. I'm a freshman at Blueford, and I run things around here. Hear what I'm saying?"
"Yeah,"
Darryl said, nodding his head. He wanted to go home, not to Uncle Jason's, but back to Philadelphia. Once again, he tried to move down the sidewalk. This time, the boys stepped aside. But as he hurried to get past them, Tyree stuck his foot out. Unable to step over Tyree's Nikes, Darryl tripped and fell into the gutter. His teeth jammed into his lip when he hit the ground. He could taste the salty blood oozing into his mouth.
"You clumsy or what?"
Tyree asked.
"You some kind of fool or something?"
another boy asked. Darryl got slowly to his feet. The cut in his mouth was small. He hid it by sucking in his bottom lip. He did not want anyone to see he was bleeding.
So this is how it's gonna be, Darryl thought.
Look at him shaking,
Tyree bragged, and they all laughed again, the sound like car horns in a rush hour traffic jam. Darryl turned around and started walking slowly back towards his new apartment. A young couple pushing a baby stroller were coming towards him. The man was burly. Darryl figured Tyree and his friends would not mess with them. When he got about 10 feet from the baby stroller, he looked back. The boys were gone. Tyree and his friends had slipped back into the shadows, but Darryl knew he would see them again. When he arrived at Bluford High, they would be there, walking the halls, sitting in the locker room, hanging out in the gym. They would be waiting for him. That night, Darryl listened to his mother talk excitedly about her new job as a secretary at Uncle Jason's office. She had fixed Darryl's favorite dinner, fried chicken, mashed potatoes with plenty of thick brown gravy, and a big salad with crisp lettuce and tomatoes.
It's such a nice place, honey, she said. The construction workers come in, and they are so friendly. Mostly, I just need to talk to people. I use the computer a little bit, too.
Sounds great, Mom, Darryl said.
There was no way he was going to tell her what had happened. He did not have the heart to ruin her first day in California. Besides, he thought, all she would tell him to do was smile.
Look where that got me, he thought.
That night, Darryl could not sleep. Even though it was quiet, he could still hear the sound of laughter, Tyree's laughter. And all Darryl could think about was that this was just the beginning.